And I remember you sitting, where were you? Were you there or there? I can't remember. But praise God. God still works on lives today. He's still changing hearts and lives. Do you believe that? The power of God is still working. I praise God that He's worked in your life, Jean. Thank you for sharing that song. Last weekend when the elders got together, we had quite a few of the elders up at Leone. And we just had a great time. Fred talked about the snow. It was great. We brought all the kids and the wives, and we just had a wonderful time. But I had a purpose in it. And the purpose, of course, was to get to know the elders better. But mostly, I wanted to start talking about the dream that God has placed in my heart for this church and for Lodi. Because I believe that we are here for a purpose in this church. And God wants to change our community through us. And we just had a great time. The Spirit of God was working through all of us. I gave a dare to all of them, a love dare. So many of them have been emailing me, telling them that they're taking the dare. And it's kind of like the movie, but it's not just so much with couples, but the love dare is to spend an hour with God in His Word every day. And I believe if we as leaders can be connected to God in a powerful way, then we're going to see the church go on fire as well. So that's the challenge. So we had a great time. I want to just mention again, I've kind of been off because I've been gone some, but the visitation, there is a couple of sheets out there on the table out there in the lobby. For if you'd like to sign up, there's so many I don't know. I really like to get to know you. It's hard for me when I see you on Sabbath, you come and how you doing, and I don't know anything about you. Many of you I know, but I'd love to come and visit you. So just sign up your name. I got a schedule there, or you can call the office, and Janice can put it down as well. One more thing. Not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, I'm going to start a prayer meeting again. And that prayer meeting is very specific. It's going to go along with some sermons I'm going to be preaching, but how many have ever struggled with your devotional life? Oh, there's only a couple of us. No. I know what happens. A lot of you struggle. You get down, I know I should spend time in the Word of God. I don't get anything out of it. The Bible's kind of boring, all those kind of things. And the purpose of our prayer meeting is just going to be specifically, how can we make the Word of God come alive? Okay, we're going to talk about that. It's going to be more of a small group, and we're going to start sharing. And I'm going to teach you how to make the Bible come alive in your life. Do you want it? See, I challenge people all the time. They do a certain thing in my meetings. I've challenged people over the years. If you would take 30 minutes a day with Christ in the Gospels, getting connected with Christ, you will meet Jesus in a way you've never known. Most people come to the Word of God. I'm supposed to read the Word. Well, that's kind of an interesting story. Don't get anything out of it. But if you hang in there, it's amazing. God will start to speak to you if you hang in there. And so that's what those Wednesday nights are going to be about, okay? It's going to be dynamic, exciting. I think you're going to enjoy it, and I hope you will come. We're also going to spend time in prayer. Prayer meeting, that sounds good, right? So that's going to start 6:45, a week from this Wednesday. I want you to take your Bible, turn to Exodus. Exodus chapter 4. Now I'm going to tell you, I just love Moses and the story of Moses. I love the story of how God took a man. Now he's 80 years old when it comes to the burning bush there in chapter 3. But it's amazing as he comes to this burning bush and it's not being consumed. And I try to get into the story, what it must have been like. And so he sees the bush, he comes near, God speaks to him. Have you ever had God speak to you? I have. It's an awesome thing. God spoke to him. He takes his sandals, his holy ground, that whole story. And God says, I've heard the suffering, the cries of my people. Now, Moses, go. Go. And I would deliver my people from Egypt. But what does Moses begin to do? You guys know the story. What does he begin to do? He begins to make excuses. One right after the other. In fact, he makes basically four excuses why he can't go. And then finally, all these miracles are happening. He's telling them, he takes his rod, he throws it down, it becomes a snake, he picks it up again. You know this story. He puts his hand in his chest, he takes it out, it's leprous, he puts it back and it's healed. Can you imagine the power of that experience for Moses? The miracles that are taking place. And Moses, even as all these miracles are happening, he's making one excuse after another why God cannot use him. In chapter 4, there in verse 10, it says, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue.' So the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say.' But he said, 'O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you will send.'" Have you ever run from God? Have you ever made excuses for not doing the will of God? You know, you look at these miracles and it's all the excuses that come. He says, "Now go to Pharaoh," chapter 3 there. And Moses says, "Who am I that I should go?" What is he saying? I'm a nobody. How could you use somebody like me? But the response of God is, "I will be with you." He makes his second excuse. He basically says there, he says, "But when I go, the people will not believe in me. I'm not smart enough. Why would he use somebody like me?" But God says, "I'll provide everything that you need because I am the I am." He makes another excuse. "They won't believe in me," second time. "They won't listen to what I have to say." He says, "But I will use what you have. Throw down your rod. I will use what you have." And that last excuse, "But I can't speak." And God says, "Who made your mouth? I'll provide everything that you need. I'll be with you. I will strengthen you." As I read this story, I can relate so well with the story of Moses. I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was a preacher. In fact, my dad was a pastor. Then he became an evangelist. I have an older sister. I have a younger brother. I have a twin sister. Now, I was very introverted. I was very quiet. I was shy growing up. Now, my sister, my twin sister, she was outgoing. She was good in school. I was terrible in school. She's outgoing. I'm not. We started piano together the same day. She plays beautifully. I know her middle C is. My sister, my twin sister, she could run faster than me. She was stronger than me. And I was a shy, tentative little boy. I had a significant person in my life that told me I was dumb, slow, and stupid. And it's amazing, when you have a significant person in your life telling you that, it doesn't matter how many other people are telling you, "You're great, we love you," and so on and so forth, you believe that person. And so I began to believe that, you know, I'm slow, I'm dumb, I'm shy, I'm all that, what he says I am. And so I've grown up, and by the way, we moved a lot too. As a minister's kid, I mean, we moved from place to place, and that's hard when you're shy, always looking for a friend. And we moved to British Columbia, and then we moved to Florida, moved all over the place. And when I moved down there, my parents never did well in their marriage. My dad's a minister, but they were struggling. And things got worse and worse, and we went down to Florida, and finally my parents got divorced when I was 13 years old. If I were to ask how many of you have been through a divorce, many of you would raise your hand. And it just devastated me. I mean, I was relatively a good kid up to that point. My grandma thought I was the best kid that ever lived. But something happened at 13 when that happened. Something snapped inside of me. And all this anger towards my father, towards God. I didn't want anything to do with God or the church. And I began to go to a different crowd and do things I never thought I'd ever do. As I look back, I'm so thankful that my mom, she saw what was happening. If I told you all the things I got involved with. Now, at the same time, my mom is taking me to church, but I didn't want to be there, and I didn't care. And so I started going down this path. I mean, I had a father, the divorce, he's a minister, so I was running from anything that reminded me of where I was, or where my family was before the divorce. I look back and I praise God that my mom kept me in Christian schools. I believe in Christian education, by the way. I'm a product of an Adventist academy. And I look back and where I was going, I don't know where I'd be if I hadn't been at that school, those schools at the right time. And I want to encourage you, if your kids are not in academy, I want to encourage you to think about it seriously. Get on your knees and pray about it. I know the economy is tough right now, but I would tell you something. God, when you make that commitment, God will bless that sacrifice that you make. I am here because of the sacrifice that was made. I went to academy. It was in Minnesota. And by the way, did you know Pastor Scott and Pastor Rick, all of us went to the same academy? Is that right? I mean, Scott, you're from Maplewood Academy. I think Rick, is that right? Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's amazing. Here, we're all here, your pastors. Isn't that something? I mean, that's just weird. But, you know, I was the kind of guy, I was always shy. I always had a few friends. Now, I was, of course, the jock. I was always into sports. You can imagine, what game do you think I like to play? Yeah, basketball. So, you know, it's... You know, that was my love and everything, but I always had a few friends. I was always kind of quiet and shy a little bit and didn't do good at school at all. But my senior year, I had went through many week of prayers, and every once in a while I'd have an encounter with God, and God would speak to me in some way. I'd be drawn to Him, but I kept resisting. My senior year, a week of prayer speaker came to the school. And this guy was just speaking about stories. I mean, he dressed in T-shirts and jeans, and man, that was really cool back in my day, right? But he was just telling stories about himself, and listening to these stories, he kind of had us, you know, all week long. And then the Friday night, we're all there, it's a Vespers, and Friday night, he says, young people, the doctors tell me I'm dying of cancer. They say I only have 6 months to live. He says, when I found that out, I decided that I would give the remaining days of my life to telling young people that God loves them and wants a relationship with them. And when he said that, it broke my hard heart. See, I used to sit back in the back and make fun of the preachers. Now I'm getting paid back for that. But when he said those words, it broke my hard heart. I went up that night, and I cried, and I said, okay, God, I want to serve you. And for 2 weeks, I really had a plan. I was going to go for it. I was going to get close to God, and that was my plan. And 2 weeks later, I was right back to where I was before. But I'm going to tell you something. The seed that was planted there was planted deeply in my heart. I could not get away from it, that I love you. I want a relationship with you. After graduation, I got actually a physical education award from the school, and I decided to go to Walla Walla College. How many from Walla Walla? Just two of us. No, three. We went to Walla Walla College, you know, and I get there, and I tell you, it was a rude awakening for me. I get there, and I had all this college work to do, and I tell you, I was terrible in school, and I cheated my way through academy. I'm not proud of that, but that's what happened. I was good. I remember cheating my way through Bible class. As I went to college and I began to realize, you know, maybe I am slow, dumb, and stupid after all. Maybe school is not for me. After two quarters of basically failing, I hear about this guy that was doing trail constructions up in the mountains. And so I called him up and I said, I'm coming up to meet you. I want to work for you. Put down the phone and just went up and saw him. He looked at me and says, you're hired. And I started working trail construction, building hiking trails all over the Pacific Crest, the trail. We started down the Guadalupe Mountains of Texas. And what began to happen, the people I was around, all these contracting construction guys, you know, foul mouths and all the stuff and all the partying, and I got into that, and I got kind of just hooked, and I started living that life. The Lord was still calling me, but I was living that life, and I was kind of turning my back on God, and I just began to work. I was making like 14. I started, this is back in the early 80s, making 14 bucks an hour. I went up to 24 bucks an hour with no responsibility. I was doing really well. I had all kinds of money. I had $100 bills everywhere. I went and paid cash for my Toyota 4Drive, paid cash for my motorcycles. I was having a good time. And then I was partying on the weekends. Now, trail construction is extremely hard. If you don't know anything about trail construction, it's one of the hardest works you ever do. You have to hike, let's say, at least a mile, sometimes as much as 20 miles a day. Plus, you will work 10 to 12 hours a day. My percent body fat was 4.5% at that time. I had a resting heartbeat of 36 at a time. You know, it's just incredibly hard work. But we were working trails, and I'd work trails, and I bought this motorcycle. You see the picture of the motorcycle, and I had been working down the Guadalupe Mountains of Texas, and I was heading home to see my mom. So I went back to Redding, California, and then I was going back to work down the Guadalupe Mountains. It was about a 1,500-mile trip on my motorcycle. I get on my motorcycle, and I'm cruising down I-5, and I'm going to tell you, I've always had a problem with going fast or speed. And I was doing about 85, 90 miles an hour all the way down I-5, passing cars all day long. This is back when it was 55. Not one car had passed me all the way from Redding all the way down to like Bakersfield, Highway 58. And I was cruising along, just passing people, and I had one car to pass, and then I was going to turn off the off-ramp. I would usually check my mirror, and I'd look over my shoulder, and I did that, and as I began to pull out into the other lane, all of a sudden, a 450 SL Mercedes, gold with a white top, passed me, just missed my front tire. Now, I don't know how close it was. All I know is this, I couldn't breathe. I went into shock a little bit. And as I pulled in, I just missed that car. I pulled off the off-ramp. I didn't stop for anybody or anything. But I stopped. And God spoke to me for the first time in my life that I heard his voice. And he said, "Brent, I just saved you. I got a plan for your life." And I said, "But God, there's too many things I want to do with my life." I was so afraid if I really gave everything to God, he'd take away all the fun in my life, all the joy in my life, right? And so I just got on my motorcycle. I tried to drown out that voice. I don't want to hear it anymore, right? But the Holy Spirit kept coming. "I want a relationship with you. I love you. I saved you. I got a plan for your life." Well, 3 months later, I was coming back from, it was like Mojave to Barstow in that area, and if you've ever been out there, the wind was blowing, the sand was blowing, it was like being in a blizzard, I could hardly see anything. I'm leaning into the wind along there. I'm going along probably 65, 70 miles an hour in this wind. As I'm cruising along, all of a sudden I see two young ladies on horses taking up almost the whole other lane. And I see that, and all of a sudden, out of the sand, here comes a semi right at me. That's amazing what goes through your mind at that moment. I pulled my motorcycle right to the edge. There was no shoulders, just white line and sand. The semi pulled over just enough, and as he goes by, that wind pushed my front tire into the sand. It happened so quickly. I mean, it's amazing. I don't even remember all the exact details, but all I remember is my front tire went in. I thought this was it. And somehow I pulled the motorcycle up back on the pavement. Now, have you ever tried to go off in the sand and pull yourself back up? What's going to happen? You're going to wipe out. Somehow I stayed on the road, and as the semi went by, the suck of the semi just missed the back end of that semi. And again, I couldn't breathe. It was such a powerful moment. I couldn't breathe. And God spoke to me for the second time. And he says, "Brent, I just saved you. I got a plan for your life." The exact same thing. Because I heard his voice. It's clear I'm speaking to you. I said, "God, there's too many things I want to do with my life." I was afraid to give my life fully to Christ. And so I just kept running. Running as far and as fast as I could go. You ever run from God? And I was running. I couldn't get away from those seeds, those voices, what God had told me. And so I'd party. When I'd go back, see, I'd work trail construction, then I'd go back and I'd go to school, and I'd do a little more school and college because that's where all the ladies were, you know. And then I'd go back to trails again. And the third year, I decided, you know, I'm going to put my heart and soul into school. I'm going to take business. I wanted a motorcycle shop. That was my love. And I'm going to put everything into it. I'm going to have a motorcycle shop. That was my goal. So I went back to college. And the harder that I worked at school, the worse my grades got. I'm not kidding you. I look back, this had to have been God, right? Because I was studying hard. I was really trying. My grades went from C's and D's to D's and F's. In my last quarter, I had 3 D's and an F. And I said, you know, Brent, I am dumb, slow, and stupid after all. I am never, ever going to college ever again. And I went away from school. And by the way, you know, when I played a lot of sports and everybody thought I was stuck up because I didn't talk to people much. But I was just scared to death of people. My self-esteem was in sports and working hard, but I really believe I was slow, dumb, and stupid. And so when I walked away from college that third year, I said, I'm never going back. I'm just going to do construction the rest of my life. That's what I'm cut out for. And that summer, as I began to work, I was just miserable inside. I didn't like me. I hated everything about me. I even started getting suicidal thoughts. You'd never dream on the outside. I had cars. I had money. I had everything you'd dream that I'd ever want. But inside, I was miserable, and I didn't like me. It was in the middle of summer. It was July, and I was in Chehalis Falls, Oregon, building a trail up there. It's a beautiful falls. If you've been in Chehalis Falls, it's outside of Bend. It was gorgeous, and we were partying, and then I'd work hard. We partied on the weekend. Well, this one weekend, I decided I'm going in with the guys, and we're going to go party Eugene, Oregon. And so I had a little Toyota four-wheel drive. I had two friends with me. I had a shell. I had a guy in the back. We take off into town, and we go to the bar this Friday night, and we were partying, having a good old time. Stayed overnight in town, and we were coming back. By the way, I got a ticket on the way into the bar, and I got a 70 and a 55. That was no big deal, but that was 10 tickets. That was my 10th ticket in a year. I had tickets all over the different states. I just got a letter from California. If I get another ticket, I'm going to lose my license. Back in those days, the computers didn't work as good, apparently. I got tickets from wheeling across any intersections on my motorcycle. I had all kinds of tickets all over the place. Anyway, I went into Eugene, Oregon. We partied. We're coming back the next night. It's dusk. It's on Saturday evening, and I'm coming back, and I'm doing 100 miles an hour in the middle of nowhere down this little grade, and my friend in his 240Z is right behind me. We're doing 100 miles an hour. And as we're going down this grade, all of a sudden, here's a policeman pulled in nose first. And we go by this policeman, boom, boom. And I said, man, I am dead. And I shifted down. I was back to 55, right? My friend in his 240, I heard him shift down, and he was gone. He said later he was doing 135 miles an hour. But he was gone. That's another story. But anyway, the policeman finally catches up, pulls up beside with the loudspeaker. He says, pull over behind me when I pull over the other guy. And I hear the four barrel, and he was gone. I just happen to know about a logging road around the corner. So I took this logging road as fast as I could at the top of this mountain, shut off my lights, kind of scared to death, and snuck back down to camp. And I never heard anything about it. I got away with it. That week was probably the most miserable week of my life. You know how the Holy Spirit just kind of comes on you, just starts working on you? I couldn't get away from the voice of God. I love you. I want a relationship with you. I saved you. I got a plan for your life. All those voices are going on in my mind. But that week, I actually thought about taking my own life. I thought I was dumb, slow, and stupid. I hated everything about me. And the next weekend, all the guys said, come on, Brent, let's go party. I said, I'm going to stay here in camp, and I'm just going to save some money. I actually lied. And they all left. And it's Friday night. There's nobody in camp. I didn't have a Bible, but I had a little Christian book. I started reading this little Christian book. The Spirit of God started to work on my heart. And the next day I got up and I just continued to read. Nobody there. All day long. And 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I don't know exactly what happened, but I just began to cry. Those guys in construction, we don't cry. But I began to cry. And for hours, I just continued to cry. And about 9 o'clock, it was dusk. The sun was setting late in Oregon. The sun was going down late. Probably 9:30, 10 o'clock. It was getting dark. And crying, I went out by this stump and knelt down. And I surrender everything to Jesus at that point. And I'm telling you, everything changed in a moment for me. Everything. I had peace and joy in my life in a moment. All of a sudden, it was just like in a moment. I went back after 18 years, and I went back to the same place to see where I gave my life to Christ. Couldn't find the stump. It was gone. But I found the place where I gave my life to Jesus. But I laid down everything. I decided I don't care what my family thinks of me. I don't care what my friends think of me. I'm yours. I'm totally and completely yours. The next day, I woke up in the morning filled with joy, and here's all my friends getting back from party, and they're all hungover, and they're all grouchy getting up in the morning, and I was filled with the Spirit, and I was telling about Jesus the next morning. And they started saying, Brent, it's okay to believe in Jesus. Don't become a Jesus freak on us. I was becoming a Jesus freak. And I started to read the Word of God. All I cared about was the Word. I got a hold of a Bible and started reading. I was a terrible reader, but I just continued to read the Word of God. I started with Genesis 1:1. It looked like a good place to start for me. I could hardly remember anything. It was amazing, but I started to read. I almost read the whole Bible through in 5 months, every moment. I was so hungry for God. I remember this one time I was working down at Convict Lake, down by Mammoth Mountain. I was so hungry. I was more hungry for the Word of God than I was for physical food. You ever been there? After working 10 hours and hiking 6 miles at 10,000 feet, running down the mountain and going straight to the tent just to get in the Word of God, I had no idea that God was going to call me in the ministry, and I would actually take 3x5 cards and memorize at lunch break with all these guys. The guys were talking about their party and experience. I was memorizing the Word of God, and I could care less what they thought of me. All I cared about was God. That's all I wanted was God. We were down there at Convict Lake, and we got snowed out of the mountains. We hit like 5-foot snowstorm hit, and I didn't know what to do. All I knew, I wanted to get close to God. And my friend got a hold of me. He had moved to Loma Linda. He says, Brent, I can get you a job down here in the psych ward. I didn't know what else to do. Okay, I don't have anything else to do. So I went down there, got a job in the psych ward as a bouncer, basically. I wasn't much good for anything else. They tried to use me in nurse's aide, but I just kind of restrained people and stuff like that. Good preparation for pastoring, I'll tell you. But all I cared about, I would work, I would go home and study. I'd read the Word of God. I'm a preacher today because I fell in love with the Bible. Do you love the Bible? I mean, do you really love it? I fell in love with the Word of God. It changed everything about me. That's all I cared about. Basketball, I still loved it and liked to play, but it just wasn't the God it used to be. Everything changed. All I cared about was the things of God. Every spare minute I'd go home and read and study the Word of God. I remember going to church, and I got to tell you, it was actually an Adventist church. But afterwards, you know, I didn't know anybody, and I would come and listening, and I was inspired by the sermon. Afterwards, I'm out in the lobby. I didn't know anybody. I was still insecure. I'm still shy. I'm still introvert. I'm still quiet. But I'm in love with the Lord now. And everybody's talking about everything but God. There was the Rams, and there was this Southern California, and sports, and this and that. And nobody's talking about Jesus. And I left church just kind of discouraged. Went back to my apartment all by myself. And I knelt down by my bed. And I just lost track. I started to pray, and I lost track of time. Have you ever been in prayer where you actually have lost track of time? I started to pray. I felt God's presence there. I didn't know till later, it was about 2.5-3 hours, I was on my knees. I just lost track of time. And at the end of that time, I said, God, you know I want to serve you. What do you want me to do with my life? And he spoke to me for the third time in my life that I heard his voice. And he says, Brent, I want you to be a minister. Now, I knew what minister, you know, I know we're all ministers, but I knew what that meant to me. And, you know, my dad being a pastor, I didn't want anything to do with it. And I jumped off my knees and says, God, I will do anything else, but that's one thing I will never do. Come on, lead me to something else. It kind of upset me that God would call me to that. I mean, my greatest fear in my life, guess what it was? Get in front of people, right? And God's calling me to ministry. I said, come on, God. I started to argue with God, and day in and day out, you know, it's amazing when you're fighting the voice of God. That's all you can hear. When God is telling you to do something, that's all you can hear. And so I would read, doesn't matter if I'm reading Leviticus, doesn't matter, man, God wants me to be a minister. And I tell you, it upset me. And for a whole month, I was just struggling, wrestling over this thing. I said, come on, God, call me to something else. I'll do anything else. I'm not cut out for that. I'm not very smart. I did terrible in school. I can't speak. And all my excuses. A month later, I was talking to my sister at church. I looked at her, my older sister, and I said, Gail, you're not going to believe this, but God is calling me to ministry. Isn't that crazy? She looked at me for a few minutes. She said, you make a good minister. What? I started arguing with her, you know. Well, I heard the message that morning, and it wasn't even the pastor there, but it was a great message. It was actually a principal of a school close by Academy. And he spoke a message that I can still remember this day. Afterwards, he said, I mean, as he closed his message, I got impressed to go talk with him. And my sister looks at me and says, you need to go talk to that guy. And so on the way out, I made an appointment to go down there Monday morning to see this guy at 10 o'clock. I still remember this. I was going to go in there. I was going to tell him I shouldn't be a minister. I was going to give him all my excuses. He's saying, you're right, you shouldn't be, and I could walk away from this thing, right? I go in there, and I'm telling him all my excuses why I shouldn't be a minister. He's just listening. And then he says to me, he says, you think you're shy, you should have seen me. And he told me his story of knocking on doors for years, a call porter, before he'd get up front. And he says, even today, he says, I get so nervous, sometimes I throw up, even today. But he says, if God has called you, he will give you the strength to do whatever he's called you to do. And right then and there, I surrendered my life again. And I said, God, whatever you want. And 2 months later, I found myself at La Sierra going to school to become a minister, wondering, what in the world am I doing here? And I was sitting in the classroom, and all these guys, you know, they all have the right questions, the right answers. They know what they're talking about. I don't have a clue what's going on. And I remember sitting there, my last grades in college were D's and F's. And I remember just studying so hard, trying to figure it all out, trying to comprehend all those kind of things. My first midterm that I had to take after coming back to the Lord. I remember as I sat down, I was all prepared. I studied hours for this thing. I was going to be ready. I was going to get a good grade. And I sit down, and here's the test. And I look down, and the first question, I don't know the answer. And my blood sank, you know, and I said, oh, no. And I didn't. And the second one, oh, I can't remember that one. And then I just finally sat down in my chair and relaxed, and I said, God, if you want me to fail, that's okay with me. And as I relaxed, I looked down, I said, oh, I know that one. Oh, I know that one. Oh, I know that one. I was the first one done and did not miss one point. And God gave me evidence, and I was almost straight A's, basically A-minus average after I gave my life to Christ. I got straight A's in Greek. God began to change everything in my life. God really does change you. He does take you the way you are. He takes Moses just the way he is. He changes us. He makes us over again. It's amazing when you give your life fully to Christ. The problem is we never get to the place where we lay everything down, so we never experience the full power of God in our lives. But if we just lay it down, God, you'll experience God in a powerful way. I remember that first year I was there, and I heard a senior speaking in front of all these 2,000 kids at La Sierra, and I tell you, just hearing him speak, he's doing such a great job, and the Spirit of God says, you're going to be speaking when you're a senior. And I had to get up, and I had to go out, and I thought I was going to throw up, just the thought of it. The next year was homiletics. Anybody know what homiletics is? Preaching class. I couldn't relax all summer just thinking about homiletics. My first talk, all I had to do was talk for 5 minutes about myself. I couldn't even do that. I was so afraid and so nervous in front of people. I mean, I was shaking, and I had my notes shaking, and I was getting red and sweating, and it just scared me to death. And as I left that, I spoke for 5 minutes. I sat down. I was humiliated. As I left that room, I was just angry. I shook my fist at God. I said, God, get me out of this. I don't want to do this. I'm not cut out for this. I'd go back to my dorm room and I knelt down by my bed and said, God, please help me. And I began to claim the promises of God. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. When you're weak, then I'm strong. And I found my God is strong. In my senior year, I was speaking in front of 2,000 kids, and I was actually one of the graduation speakers for my class. God changes lives. He really does. It's not always easy when God takes you on this journey, but if you will give your life completely to Christ, if you let everything down, not hold anything back, you will experience power. Are you ready for it? See, some of you need to surrender. Some of you have been going to church for a long time. You've never experienced the power of God like that. You don't know what I'm even talking about. But God wants you to experience power. He wants you to be changed completely, to lay everything down. And I look at young people here today. Ah, if you could just see what God has for you. He's got a great plan for your life. And I want to encourage you, whatever's going on in your life, that you will give your life and that you will surrender again. Listen as I sing the song. When people throw sticks and stones, they say I don't belong. You love me as I am. When courage is hard to find, don't have the strength to try. You love me as I am. As I am with all my weakness, as I am with all my faults, you came running like my champion, just to love me as I am. When envy invades my heart and tears it all apart, you love me as I am. When forgiveness is hard to do and I lose sight of you, you love me as I am. As I am with all my weakness, as I am with all my faults, you came running like my champion, just to love me as I am. Somehow you see the best in me. I just see the worst. Your faith in me is amazing. It's more than I deserve. As I am with all my weakness, as I am with all my faults, you came running like my champion, just to love me as I am. You came running like my champion, just to love me as I am. does God. I hope you realize this is not about me. I tell my story because I want you to know me better, but also I'm telling my story because I want you to know God still works in lives today. He is still about changing hearts and lives, and He wants to change you. If you are walking in a mundane kind of this complacent life where there's hardly any power, it's hard to read your Bible, it's hard to pray, it's hard to even come to church, you need Jesus. You need a new beginning. God wants you to surrender. He wants you to give again, you, all of you. Wherever you are, He wants you to lay it down. Whatever's going on in your life, I wish I knew what was going on in every one of your lives. Because every one of you are struggling with your relationship with God in some form, some way. Because the devil is alive and well, and he's afraid that you're going to give everything to God. Because if we will give everything to God, this world will change. So what are you holding back? Why not again say, here's my life. I give everything to you. Everything. See, when you see how much Jesus really does love you, when you see what He's given up for you, the high price He's paid for you, the cost for you, that He was saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He was talking about you. When it tells about Roman soldiers spitting in his face and mocking and punching him and slapping him and whipping him, that was you. When I began to realize how much Jesus loves me, I had to give Him my life. I'm so glad that many years ago, I said, here's my life. I give it to you. And today, right now, you have an opportunity to give your life. Maybe for the first time, there is people, there's Adventists, you've been in this church your whole life, you've never ever given all. Some of you here today, you've been walking along, but you know it's time to surrender again. Why not do it today? Why not today? Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you've done in my life. I praise you. I glory in your strength and your power. I recognize there's nothing to glory in myself. It's all because of you. Lord, as I've told my story today, I know hearts are being touched and moved by your Spirit today. And Lord, every person here wants to hear your voice. I pray, Father, that you would come and just once again speak to our hearts and convict us again of our need of you every day. That there is no joy, there is no power or peace outside of you. And so, Lord, you keep knocking at the door. Will you let me in? Lord, keep knocking on each door here. Lord, today I know there's people here just want to say with me, here's my life. I give it to you. Maybe for the first time. Maybe it's time to renew, but Lord, we just want to give our hearts to you again. Listen to our hearts today as we give ourselves to you. Bless us. In Jesus' name.